Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Okay, very, very scary headline that I saw today in Mail and Guardian. South African kidnapping surged to over 1,000 a month in 2022. Now, here at Hi FM, this came very, very close to home. Earlier this year, when one of our staff members was actually kidnapped, he was abducted at the Marlboro off-ramp. The guys got into his car, and they didn't really want the car. They wanted him, and they wanted his bank account details, and they're very, very tech-savvy. So we need to, at that stage, I think there were 38 kidnappings a day. It's definitely gone up, and joining me is expert Herman Bosman. He's the head of TSU. Good afternoon, and thank you for your time.
Good afternoon to you and listeners.
Herman, what have we learnt about the patterns? What is the demographic? Is there a demographic? What are the patterns that we can take that information? You know, if you're talking about hijackings of vehicles, okay, so you look at an area before you stop. You never just pull into your driveway. There's certain things that you can do that are proactive. What are the patterns that we are seeing that we can take that information and arm ourselves?
All right, well, I think we need to start with, why do we have a rise in kidnappings?
Yes,
why
exactly.
Do we see the spate of kidnappings that we currently see? And did we actually predict that it is going to rise over the past 10 plus years? Now, the more dysfunctional the government is, the more problems you have with the economy as far as the socioeconomic conditions and the rise in corruption. We see that internationally, that in that context, you will see a rise in kidnappings. So we can basically look at that and foretell that this is going to become a problem. Also looking at money and cash in circulation. More and more when you go out to restaurants and places, you'll see that they say, we do not accept cash, cards only. I went to a restaurant today in Gauteng where they said clearly only cards. So cash in circulation has become a problem. So how do we get our hands on money? And nowadays, how we do that is to take a person and demand money from that person, either taking the person to an ATM and draw the money, or demand money to be paid or transferred in many ways that we have learned over the years that the person is doing this. Now, how do we prevent this, and how do we tackle this problem? First of all, I'm not sure that the government really understands the extent of the problem. I don't think they've got the insight to the sophistication of the problem. And the reason I'm saying that is that to establish 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 task teams is not going to change kidnappings. You need to go to the root causes, and you have to look at how did it evolve over the past literally 20 years. And you have to start with the executive, then the legislature and judiciary. You have to change a lot in the current system, when you define crime, how you investigate it, how you prosecute it, how you present it to court. What is the sentence, for instance, for a kidnapping? It cannot be 5 years. It must at least be 30 plus years. So there must be a continuous relook at the situation. Will a person that's been kidnapped, and I personally perceive kidnapping as one of the worst crimes that can happen to anybody. Your freedom is gone forever. You're not taken only for the period in detention. And the same with the family, friends, and also people that work with you. They all suddenly live in that space of your freedom's gone. How do you get that person to testify in court? How do you actually present that case to court? And that is the pertinent questions we need to ask, and we need to address, and we have to look at. But to establish task teams and to have people out on the roads patrolling is not going to sort out or change this problem.
Herman, interrupt you. Herman, what are the statistics on fatalities in kidnapping? I mean,
fatalities very low at this stage, and I pray and hope it will stay low. And the reason being that it is an investment for kidnappers to take a person, obtain money, and release that person. If people are going to die, it is not a good investment and return on their actual action of taking the person. And they do not, in general, want to harm the person if the motive for the kidnapping was to obtain an advantage such as money. If the motive was different and that is to harm the person, well, that's something different. But it is in their best interest that they look after the person that they've taken and do release that person unharmed after the tragic ordeal. But a lot can go wrong. And that is the problem in the whole process. And that is obviously a major concern. And even if they do release each and every person taken, that person released is still in custody for a very long to an indefinite period of time thereafter. Another thing I need to stress, and I've worked with many, many clients and people in South Africa, business owners, that affect
Herman, I'm so sorry. It's we've actually got to go to news. But I'm going to ask Senna if she can please book you again.
No problem.
This is obviously a much, much bigger topic than, you know, this is a much longer interview than a 5-minute interview.
So,
I just want to say thank you very, very much for making yourself available. And we're going to ask Senna to please get you back soon so that
thank
we can you. Continue the conversation.
And if I may ask, if yes. she can maybe send her the podcast for our own purpose, if you don't mind.
100%. Thank you so much. Thank you, Herman. That's Herman Bosman, head of TSU, talking about international kidnapping, hostage survival, and extortion.